It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two. You would think after all this time I would wait for Barkley to say his little insult about me. Every once in a while I forget, though. Charles, no, I am one of those idiots. It is hour number two of a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Gil Alexander, Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, and Game Plus. It's all brought to you by BetMGM. We appreciate that. And thanks to Jason Weingarten again. A spirited discussion as he shoots for either going home or being a foreman of his jury today. That would be, can you imagine if he was your foreman and he just kept you there for weeks? And I was like, Jason, let me go home. Just quit bringing up every argument possible to this. I wish that jury luck if that happens. Coming up, Dan Bespris on the NBA, because I like nothing more than a couple teams that I think are tanking. So we got to talk about that coming up towards the end of the show. But the NHL playoffs resumes, or I guess officially begins today, because we weren't calling those qualifying rounds officially the playoffs, I guess, by NHL parlance. So today we have four of the round of 16 series, and then tomorrow the other four begin, couple in the West, couple in the East, both days. And to break it all down for us here, all of it, we bring in our Point Spread Weekly hockey expert. He's the guy that wrote our entire playoff magazine betting guide before the qualifying round began. It's Andy McNeil, everybody, at Sprott's Gambler. How you doing, Andy?
I'm doing pretty good. It's the calm before the storm.
Oh, this is great today, man. 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific is when it starts with Columbus, Tampa Bay. We got Calgary, Dallas today, Carolina, Boston, Chicago, Vegas, and then four more tomorrow. We'll get into all of them. Let us begin. Let's do these chronologically. Rather than do them conference by conference, let's do them as the games go today, because that'll be clearer in people's betting minds. So the first game today, Columbus and Tampa Bay. What you have, I guess, now with the reseeding is you have Tampa Bay at 2, Columbus at 7. But this is, first and foremost, a rematch of what happened last year, a historic series, really a historic series because of how Tampa Bay was historically great during the regular season and then got swept off the ice by the Blue Jackets in the first round of the playoffs. What I'm interested to hear from you here, among so many things, is not only your handicap, but what guys like Steven Stamkos, the Lightning's captain, means to a line. Will their defenseman Victor Hedman be ready to go? He got hurt, right ankle got hurt against the Flyers here in one of the round robin games. What they mean to a line, do you handicap it thinking they're playing or thinking they're not? How do you see this rematch between Columbus and Tampa Bay?
Well, I'm not putting too much stock into what happened last year. These are two different teams. The Blue Jackets lost Artemi Panarin, Matthew Shane, Sergei Bobrovsky, among others. And I'm sure a lot of people are saying, well, they don't need them. All those guys are eliminated from the playoffs already, and the Blue Jackets are still here. But this is a very deep Tampa Bay Lightning team. And as you mentioned, Hedman and Stamkos are both very questionable heading into this round. I don't think either will play in game one, and I'm actually forced to handicap this series, assuming that neither will play in the in the first round at all. And that's kind of how I'm approaching this right now. As far as the price with those two in the lineup, I'm not exactly sure. I didn't actually write that down for you today, but I would say it probably somewhere around minus 250, minus 260, maybe higher. Right now, I've got them at minus 200 without Stamkos and Hedman, and I think people would probably be a little bit surprised by that because the Blue Jackets did just take out the Maple Leafs. But if they, employ that same strategy of kind of hanging on for dear life like they did against the Maple Leafs, I don't think they're going to fare too well against the Lightning. This is a deep team. They've got players that maybe some people haven't heard of, like Braden Point and Anthony Cirelli, and then on the back end you have Ryan McDonough and Mikhail Sergachev. So there's a lot of really good pieces here. And this team, they're going to be negatively impacted by the fact that Stamkos and Hedman might not be in the lineup here at all. But this team still scored almost a goal more per 60 minutes at 5-on-5 than the Blue Jackets did. And they're a great team defensively as well.
Talking to Andy McNeil, of course, right here on Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Right now you can get the Lightning at minus 170. A Numbers Game right here at VSiN, Sirius XM Channel 204, Gil Alexander, Andy McNeil. Minus 170 is what we're seeing on the screen. Is that current, guys, what we're seeing?
Is that the game price or the series price?
That's the game price right there. What's the series price that you see? Yeah. What's the series price that you're seeing?
Minus 220 at a lot of shops, which is, you know, basically I'm right in the midpoint price. I don't see value on the Blue Jackets at plus 190, and I don't like the Lightning at minus 220. So it's, you know, it's something I'm going to see how the series plays out and maybe get involved on a game-by-game basis. But I'm not betting against the Blue Jackets, but I'm definitely not betting on them at this price.
Okay, yeah. So Lightning in this for the series minus 240 per, say, William Hill here. The game one price minus 170 ish across the board. So are you playing the game one price?
No, I'm not.
You are not.
I'm neutral on both of those prices.
Neutral on both. Okay. What was the trigger for both of those for the game itself?
Well, for the game, I mean, you're probably looking down around in the minus 40s before I get involved on the Lightning side of things.
Okay.
At this point, so I doubt I'm going to see any value on the Lightning here early. It's going to take a huge overreaction or something. And this is a series that maybe I'll, you know, decide to get it jump in after game one. Let's say the Blue Jackets get up to a 1-0 lead in the series, and there's some value maybe on the Lightning at a adjusted series price. But right now, nothing.
Okay, no play there. And Andy's right. Columbus, obviously, amazing series with the Maple Leafs, but they really did hang on for dear life. Amazing comeback for them in game three. Historical comeback for the Leafs in game four against the Blue Jackets before the Blue Jackets held on. Probably got outplayed early in building a 1-0 lead against the Maple Leafs in game five. And then Toronto just sort of ran out of gas and Columbus won it 3-0 in the end. So no play there, series or game one. Columbus and Tampa Bay. Next game today, game one of the series, which is, I guess, de facto 6-3 now with the reseeding in the Western Conference between the Calgary Flames and the Dallas Stars. Dallas was a round robin team. Calgary beat Winnipeg in four. Winnipeg obviously had injuries to deal with, so I'm not sure how much we can read into that. If I recall, you didn't love both of these teams at any point beforehand, did you?
No, I thought the Dallas Stars were the worst team in the round robin format there of the eight teams that made it in, and I thought the Calgary Flames were, you know, a mediocre team that really got lucky drawing an opponent like the Winnipeg Jets, who left a lot to be desired in a lot of areas, and then they get even, you know, a really big lucky break in game one when Mark Scheifele and Patrick Laine both go down in that game, and the Jets don't have either of those guys for the remainder of the series. I didn't think much of Calgary going in. The series versus the Jets has done nothing for me to change that opinion. I did see some things that I liked. I mean, specifically in that elimination game, they were able to really choke out the Jets in the second period when they got a 2-0 lead. And that's something to look for going forward, because Dallas doesn't score a whole lot of goals. They're a very defensive team. But that's kind of where the edge lies here. I think the Stars might look like they grade out similarly to the Flames in terms of Corsi 4 percentage, but I think if you looked at the shots and the chances that they generate, there's more a higher expected goals for percentage when you look at the Dallas Stars, and that's kind of where the edge is here. I think this series should be about minus 130. It's not. I think it's roughly being offered minus 110 aside at a lot of places. I even saw the Flames as a favorite and the Stars as an underdog for a short period of time at some faraway places, but that's been corrected. I like the Stars. I shouldn't say I like them. I'm playing them because the numbers are dictating my play here. I think this series should be a little higher. I know I talked to Jeff Davis over at Caesars, who's a really sharp hockey guy. He made the Stars minus 130 as well. It's something where, you know, in a week's time, like a lot of these series, in a week's time, I could feel totally differently about my bets. But right now, I think it's a good play. I don't know how you could make Calgary the favorite here unless you're really overreacting to this first couple of weeks of the qualifying hockey, but based on the regular season play, I think, you know, Dallas was a team that I wasn't too high on, but a lot of people were high on, so it's funny to see them offered at such a short price here, in my opinion.
Yeah, Calgary was a slight favorite in some spots, but it was minus 110 each way. I think consensus when this first started, money has come in on Dallas, but not nearly enough not to trigger a bet. So you have the Stars, just to clarify, both game one today. It's right around minus 112-ish, minus 114. Always shop around for the best price. And also in the series.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. I bet the Stars at a game at minus 115 or better on both the series and the game one price.
All right. Double dipping there on the Dallas Stars there, game one. Now, here's we're talking to Andy McNeil, by the way, at Sprott's Gambler. Gambler, let me spell that. Sprott's Gambler for those follow him on Twitter. All right, this is the third of the four games today, and this is back in the Eastern Conference now. This might be the one that I'm sort of anticipating your analysis most on, because it's Carolina-Boston, which ends up being the 5-4. Again, don't read into the seating so much, but with the reseeding, it ends up being the 5-4 just for thoroughness' sake in the East. The Bruins came in, obviously, to the bubble, if you will, as the team that had the best record in all of the Eastern Conference. And then they played the round robin and not so much. Then they end up as the 4 seed, which also happened to the St. Louis Blues, by the way, in the West. But this is the proverbial teams headed, at least perception wise, Andy, in different directions, right? Boston in the very short term. Yes, they were the best team in hockey. They didn't look so good in the round robin. The Hurricanes, on the other hand, authored the only sweep in the qualifying rounds, sweeping the New York Rangers. By the way, congratulations to the New York Rangers. Number one pick in the NHL draft lottery determined that yesterday. So how do you now this? So this to me is very interesting, right? Because it's the people who just landed in the bubble are like, oh, Bruins, not good. Hurricanes, very good. But obviously you don't view the world that way. So how do you take this? I would imagine, I mean, I can guess where you're going with this, but let's hear what it is.
Sorry, that comment really threw me off. I like that little caveman impression there that you did.
Oh, yes, thank you.
I think the Bruins, you know, are a really good team. They're elite, although the Bruins and the Hurricanes both score goals at a similar rate, I mean, where they're really separated is on the other side of the puck, and the Bruins are an elite team defensively. They rank first in goals against per 60 minutes at 5-on-5, first in goals against expected goals against per 60 minutes at 5-on-5, according to Evolving Hockey, and the Hurricanes rank 18th and 20th in those categories respectively. And it's you know, there's obviously going to be a lot of they're going to be a very trendy pick, the Hurricanes, as they really rolled over the Rangers. But I think it's important to remember that this was a matchup between the sixth and the 11th seed, right? And the Rangers just looked like an 11th seed. And I don't think we can, you know, read too much into that. Yeah, they looked great, but it's kind of a little bit of what we would have expected to begin with. The Bruins are a different animal. Obviously, this is a rematch of last year's Eastern Conference Final, where these two teams went on to have it was a 4-0 sweep at the hands of the Boston Bruins. But it's probably not going to be that easy for the Bruins this time around. A lot of their Hurricanes players have matured. Sebastian Aho is just a dynamic player that reminds me a lot of Pavel Datsyuk. Andrei Svechnikov is a young player that's really come into his own. He's really going to frustrate the Bruins. And I think people that haven't watched him a lot are going to see that he's a bit of a disturber. I can't say the first word, but you know what I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. He's a really exciting player, though. He does some wild stuff, lacrosse style goals, all of that. He's a highlight machine. The Hurricanes have a bright future. I just don't think that they have done enough, especially with the fact that Dougie Hamilton might not play every game, if at all, in this series. I don't think the Hurricanes have done enough this season to warrant having a plus 140 price tag. I actually think the Bruins, without Hamilton, or I should say with Hamilton only playing the latter half of the series, I think the Bruins should be about minus 190 here. Typically, I wouldn't have an edge this big. And, of course, I'm giving out my raw number here. I haven't regressed it to the market number, the odds that the bookmakers are offering. But I really have some big discrepancies here in some of these series. And I guess we'll find out if is the hot start really meaningful, or is it better to look at the larger sample size from a few months ago? It's as long as I've been doing this hockey betting thing, this is kind of like an opportunity for me to learn, you know, a little bit more than I normally would, because it's something that is kind of unprecedented. So I don't know. I'm sticking with my guns here. I think Boston is clearly the better team. We'll see if I'm right. I like the Bruins at -160 to win the series. I like the Bruins at -140 or better to win game one. So I'm all in on Boston today, and hopefully it goes right.
as with the Dallas Stars in the previous series, we just talked about double dipping on the Boston Bruins, both series and game one. And you've also answered, I mean, I think from the handicapping standpoint, the most interesting thing is what does Dougie Hamilton mean? What does it mean to your line with him, without him? And in the case of the Lightning, what does it mean with or without Stamkos and Hedman? I think all of that is fascinating, because what we will generally learn, and we see this in other sports, maybe not as much ultimately, it means something, but maybe not as much as the general sports fan would assume it does, at least in terms of how you price these things. And you made a great video about this series, if I'm not mistaken. I think you made a great point. We may not ever see for the rest of the way here, if this manifests how you think it does and the Bruins win here in advance, we won't see a price like this on the Bruins again.
No, that's for sure. And to your point about Dougie Hamilton, I actually do have both of my estimates here as far as with Hamilton or without him. I make the Bruins a -175 favorite, or -180, sorry, if he were to play in game one and the rest of the games throughout the series. Without him, if he doesn't play at all, that number shoots to about -215. So, ooh, you know, I think there's about roughly about 4-5% chance over the course of a series difference.
Okay. It means something, just not perhaps cataclysmically, but that means a lot right there. Changes the number. Okay. So double dipping on Dallas, game in series, game one in series, double dipping on Boston, game one in series. We touched upon the last game today of the four is game one between the Blackhawks and the Golden Knights, the 8-1, if you will, out west. We talked about this, you and I did yesterday on the show. For those who missed that, can you give a brief synopsis of how you feel about that matchup?
For sure, yeah. Like I said yesterday on yesterday's show, this matchup is a stark difference to the one between the Blackhawks and the Edmonton Oilers, which was a lot closer than people would have thought going in, and obviously it resulted in a Blackhawks series win. But this Vegas Golden Knights team is a different breed. They've shored up their kind of one problem, which was goaltending. Marc-Andre Fleury. I'm a big Fleury fan. I've watched him since I was a teenager and junior, but Robin Leonard is definitely the guy to go with here, and it looks like it will be his crease. My wife's texting me for some reason when she knows I'm on the radio, but anyway, I hope she heard that.
Don't get upset with her.
Yeah. No, but this Blackhawks team is going to be in tough. I mean, they managed to somewhat contain Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl in the Oilers series, but Corey Crawford definitely helped them out there, making some big saves. They're going to have a lot more to deal with in this series. Although the Golden Knights don't have a Connor McDavid, they definitely have a more balanced lineup, and someone like Mark Stone is in the conversation. He's always in the conversation as being one of the best players in the NHL. I think he's actually pretty underrated. I don't think a lot of people have noticed just what a dynamic player he is. And top to bottom, they get Max Pacioretty back here. I think, you know, it's going to be a bit of a cakewalk as much as it can be in the NHL for the Golden Knights. But, you know, don't be surprised to see the Blackhawks steal a game, I guess.
So, and by the way, the series price got away from us, you know, yesterday. Yeah. It probably wasn't bettable. It's -330 now, so it's not what it was. Before this all started, you talked about when we talked about just winning the cup in general, the way that your numbers had it, it was, if I'm not mistaken, Bruins, Lightning, sort of that was a tier, and then it was the Avalanche, and then it was everybody else. Do you still stick by that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, obviously, I guess I shouldn't say I do stick by that. I think the Lightning have actually dropped down below the Avalanche with the injuries to Stamkos and Hedman. So I think it's, you know, the Bruins and the Avalanche at the top right now. I do think that the Golden Knights are probably a team that I might have had a little bit too low heading into the playoffs. But once again, I'm going to wait a while before I make any real adjustments to my numbers here, because I do think it's you know, worth seeing how things play out, especially more so than just watching them defeat a you know, kind of a really bad Blackhawks team in a lot of ways. But I'm tempering my expectations. going into this round, but I do think that it's still Boston and Colorado as the two beasts in the East and the West. But obviously the seeding has definitely altered the cup odds. The Flyers, the fact, I know we'll talk about this soon, but the fact that the Flyers are now getting a 12 seed in Montreal has definitely improved their chances of moving on. Boston's odds have been reduced for sure.
Yeah, and there, and as you see, we'll flash up on the screen from BetMGM. These are the actual betting market Stanley Cup odds with the Lanch and the Golden Knights, the short shots. A lot of that with the Golden Knights may be regionally biased here, but you know, for what it's worth, they're both 6-1. Flyers and the Lightning both plus 650, and the aforementioned Boston Bruins at plus 750, who Andy has as the top of his numbers. Everybody else double digits, with the Blues and the Capitals leading that parade at 10-1 and 12-1 respectively. We'll come back and we will discuss all four series that begin tomorrow, including the Islanders and the Capitals, as well as Montreal and Philadelphia, some of the teams we referenced before. See if we can't double dip on something else with Andy McNeil. Coming back right here in the numbers game. So again, just to clarify what we had before, double dipping game one and series, both the Stars and the Bruins. We'll see what he has in store for tomorrow. Coming back right here on a numbers game at VSiN, the full hockey preview and basketball as well in store right here at the Sports Betting Network.
To a numbers game with Gil Alexander.
It is a numbers game right here at VSiN, proudly brought to you by Indeed from the Indeed.com studio. Find the high impact hire your business needs at Indeed.com/high impact. That's Indeed.com/high impact for more information. By the way, still no announcements from the Big Ten or the Pac-12, but they are pending about college football seasons. Will they postpone it? Will they cancel it? What will happen? We shall see. Big Ten and Pac-12 expected to make announcements. Have not come out yet, though, this morning. Back with Andy McNeil. Let's talk some more hockey. Let's shift to tomorrow, if you will, Andy. And let's begin with the first of four tomorrow. Eastern Conference, the Islanders and the Capitals. Capitals, two seasons removed from being Stanley Cup champions, baby. And it's Barry Trotz, the man who led them that way, who is now, of course, with the Islanders. It's Barry Trotz versus Todd Reirden, of course. That's what the narrative will be. Islanders get here by taking down the Panthers in four. How do you feel about this series?
Yeah, of course, that's the big storyline heading in. The man that led the Washington Capitals to a Stanley Cup champion after a lot of years of failed playoff, or I guess lack of playoff success, they finally got it done. And he moved on in a kind of surprising fashion and has really turned this Islanders team into a bit of a defensive juggernaut, according to most people. I don't see it as much. Of course, their goals against numbers are great, but I don't know if their process of getting there is totally sustainable. Their numbers, their underlying metrics, expected goals against, shots for... shots against per 60 minutes. Those things, those defensive metrics, are very either mediocre or just flat out bad. And the same can't be said for the Washington Capitals. They're, a pretty consistent bunch. They haven't overperformed or outperformed their expected goals like they have in years past, and their power play has actually been a little bit of a downer this year. But I think that this Capitals team still has a lot of really wonderful pieces. I mean, their top six matches up about against about just about any team in the league pretty well.
Yeah.
And as you go down the lineup, I think there's some really useful players. They don't have as many big stars on defense as they used to, but they've still got John Carlson. However, that is a bit of a concern here, as he's just returned to practice yesterday after missing a few of those qualifier games. And obviously, this team is a different team with Carlson in the lineup. He's a force on the power play, and he's a really just a very important player to this group. But I like the Capitals here at -160 to win the series. I think, once again, it's similar to the Boston Bruins and the Carolina Hurricanes. The Islanders looked really good, and I think people are really high on them. But I just don't see I don't see how the gap has closed this much from what it would have been if we had have set this series price back in March. I think it would have been much higher. I think, obviously, Braden Holtby instead of Ilya Samsonov is something that we would have liked to see Samsonov. But, I mean, at the end of the day, Holtby is a goaltender that has a lot of experience and isn't that far removed from an amazing performance in the playoffs. So I don't think we should count it out. But I make this series closer to -185, -190 for Washington. And I would bet the game one price. However, with the uncertainty surrounding John Carlson, I'm staying off that for now. Ooh. I guess I'll wait and see what happens tomorrow morning.
Interesting.
On Wednesday morning. But I like the Capitals at both prices, and I think Carlson will play most of the games in this series. I'm pretty optimistic about that, and I think the Capitals are too. But I'm going to wait and see. Let's say just before warmups, we'll probably get an announcement on whether or not he's going to play in the game. And if you want to follow me on the series, maybe you want to wait until that time to place a series bet as well, because that can be done up until the last minute too, right?
Okay, I like that. So unlike Dallas and Boston, which those games are being played today, where Andy is both doing the series and game ones respectively, with the Capitals, he likes the series price at -160, but because of the uncertainty surrounding John Carlson right now, no bet currently on game one, but tomorrow, 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern face-off for the Islanders in Washington game one. If there is some clarification on Carlson's status, no reason if it goes favorably for the Capitals that you might not make a bet on game one there. But we have to wait and see is essentially what you're saying right there about the Caps in game one. Okay, so that makes sense to me. I think that makes sense to everybody. We're rudely interrupted by one more break here. We'll get to the final three games tomorrow. And I will promise people, he's got another double dip coming up, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And it might be a sexy one. Just throw that out there as well. Arizona, Colorado, Montreal, Philadelphia, Vancouver, St. Louis. Which one will it be? We'll talk about all of them. Coming back on A Numbers Game with Andy McNeil right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Sports are back in full swing. Now's the time to subscribe to VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're offering our best price of 2020 on short and long-term packages. We even offer a free trial if you still aren't sure which option is best for you. Take advantage of this offer before the price goes up for football season. Subscribe today and put the VSiN experts to work for you with daily email updates that include our best bets from every show, host, and guest, 24/7 video access, Point Spread Weekly, our annual NFL betting guide, and more. Don't want to sleep on more. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today and get in on this special offer before it expires. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Hit it up today. It's Gil Alexander. It's Andy McNeil at his lair in Edmonton, Alberta, getting ready for the hockey cavalcade that begins today and continues tomorrow with game ones of all the round of 16 games. All right, Andy, here's the deal. I hear you breathing heavily. We got to get through these last three quickly here. After the Islanders and the Caps tomorrow, it's the Coyotes and the Lanch. Avalanche, of course, as we just mentioned, one of your Stanley Cup favorites, certainly your Stanley Cup favorite coming out of the West. Arizona gets by Nashville in four, which might have been surprising to some. Any thoughts here? Avalanche, by the way, -170 in game one. more than that on the series. Any thoughts here in terms of the betting line, value or no value?
No value. And I guess it's a good time to, I think if you haven't really like looked at, like done the math, I guess, behind, and I know a lot of people aren't going to, if you really do want to, there are some good tutorials out there on how to build a little best of seven Monte Carlo simulator to do your own kind of estimates. But if you haven't done that, you might look at a series price and see -310 or whatever the Colorado Avalanche are right now and think, oh, there's value at -170 in game one. But I think you'd be surprised to learn that, you know, what a minus, if a team was priced at -175 throughout an entire series, well, their series price is actually going to be around -300. So that's something I think I've seen a little bit of, whereas people are probably, you know, jumping, running to bet these teams at -70, -80, thinking that there's a ton of value, and there might be a little bit, but not much. Obviously, I do think that the Avalanche are a big favorite here. I think this matchup is similar to that of Columbus and Tampa Bay, where everything that the Coyotes do well, the Avalanche do so much better. They're, you know, as good as they are offensively, they scored probably 0.7 goals more per 60 minutes than the Coyotes did, I believe, at 5-on-5. But they're just an elite defensive team as well, and they've got the better goaltending tandem in Philip Grubauer and Pavel Francouz. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. You know, this whole pronunciation thing, as someone who's just doing TV and radio now, is driving me crazy, because like I just read the names on the screen most of the time and I don't really like pay attention to how they're pronounced. So that's something I've had to really pick up here. But that goaltending tandem is just don't sleep on it. And if for some reason Grubauer cannot go, their backup can get the job done, maybe even more so than Grubauer can.
You got to brush up on your Quebecois.
Yeah,
this is what you got to do. All right, so no play there, and I hope people pay heed to the pricing there between game one and the series. That's good good knowledge there from Andy on that. What appears to be good value is actually not. Third game tomorrow, real quick, Flyers and the Canadiens. It's the 1-8, if you will, because the Flyers ascended to that position during the round robin. Flyers, of course, since January 8th to the bubble. They were tied with 19 wins for the most in the NHL. 39 points was also tied for the most in the NHL. Goals per game, goal differential, face-off win percentage, all number one in the NHL since January. And then they come up and they pick up where they left off. What do you think here? Flyers -150 in game one. Anything, series or game one?
Well, the Flyers are you know, making me look stupid so far, I guess. That's what I think. But I'm still not ready to totally buy into this Flyers team. I think they're very good. I had them ranked as the 10th best team in the NHL heading into the tournament. You know, maybe I should have had them as the 8th best team, maybe. But I don't think, you know, much more than that. I don't think they've taken a big enough step forward for me to change my projection. You know, but this matchup here, it's tough, because I think, you know, we're looking at the Canadians and how they expelled the Pittsburgh Penguins. And if you had to ask a lot of people 2 weeks ago how they would have priced a series, you know, between the Montreal Canadiens and the Penguins, and a series between the Flyers and the Penguins, I think, you know, they'd probably think it would be pretty close, maybe even have the Pittsburgh Penguins as a bigger favorite. And for the most part, I think that's what we've seen. But, you know, seeing the Flyers as a -210 favorite, that's probably about where, you know, as high as they should be. I mean, if you strip away the vigorous here, that makes them about a -190 favorite, I guess. I think they should be about a -180 favorite, maybe -185 at the most. I would actually probably be on the Canadians if that series price climbs up over, you know, +200. And I'll likely be on the Canadians on a game-by-game basis. I'm not saying I will, but if there is a team that I'm going to be betting on, it's probably going to be the Canadians here. I doubt I'll be, you know, backing the Flyers at -150 or higher than that.
Yeah, I'm just looking to see if that +210 on the Canadians in the series is still up there. Because
no, it's -210. Oh, it was +210.
No, I mean on the Canadians for the series. Is it plus? Because what we have up on the screen at BetMGM is +210 on the Canadians. So I'm just checking.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm looking at other odds here, and obviously it varies from book to book. I was kind of looking at a consensus and saw Montreal +180. But yeah, +110, the value is in Montreal for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would rather lose this series betting on the Canadians than win betting on the Flyers. That's, I guess, the best way to put it. I think if you end up on the Flyers at these prices, there's going to be, you know, a lot of instances throughout a best of seven series against Montreal where you're going to be like, man, I wish I didn't bet on the Flyers, or even saying, hey, I wish I bet on the Canadians instead of the Flyers. Right. I think you're going to be hard pressed to think there's value on that, those prices going forward.
Last thing here, because we only got 45 seconds. I call it sexy. You call it ugly. Vancouver and the Blues, the Canucks and the Blues. Canucks got here by beating the Wild in four. What do you think? Dog value here?
Yeah, I like the Canucks at plus 170 for the series, at plus 130 or better for game one. I'd like to have Tyler Toffoli in the lineup, and I don't think that's going to happen. But I think this Canucks team has had a really great progression, especially through the qualifying round. And although that doesn't actually impact my number in any way, I like what the Canucks did this season. I think they're taking a step forward. I think they have elite talent up front, whereas the Blues, they do have elite talent. They have a great goaltender. But they really didn't work for it this year like they did last year. They had a lot of things kind of come easy to them. I don't think their underlying metrics, back up what they did this year like they did in 2018-19 on route to a Stanley Cup championship. And it's ugly. I don't think the Canucks are going to win this series. I think they'll win about 44% of the time, but the odds are implying that they only win about 37% of the time. So value on the Canucks at plus 170.
Makes sense to me. Double dipping on the Stars, the Bruins, and the Canucks. Series on the Caps, pending the word on Carlson for game one. Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it. NBA next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Double your action in an instant with Instant Match from BetMGM Sports. To enjoy this exclusive offer for VSiN listeners, just sign up and make your first deposit with promo code VSIN250. That's VSIN250. And BetMGM will match it with up to $250 in free bets. There has never been a summer like this in sports before, and there's never been a better time to open a BetMGM account. Just download the BetMGM app today and use promo code VSIN250 to get your first deposit matched with up to $250 in free bets. This special instant match offer is only available for VSiN listeners and viewers. Visit BetMGM for new customer offer terms and conditions. Gotta be 21 or older, though, and physically located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, West Virginia, or Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia, or 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. It's Gil Alexander, Matt Santos, alongside producer number 6.5, if you will. And ladies and gentlemen, with the best audio in the business from the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, responsible for a handful of our producer number 7 candidates on the down low. It's Dan Bespris. How you doing, Dano?
I'm churning them out, Gil. I just got producers coming out of my ears over here.
Yeah, let me clarify what I just said, because people are going to think there's something, you know, some impropriety going on. You are just a guy who's like, hey, I got a few guys that I work with who want to apply for this. Look out for their stuff. I look out for them.
Yeah.
That doesn't put them to the top of the line or anything. Just, you know, you got people. You're that kind of guy, Dano.
That's right. I will speak up for those who I think deserve an opportunity, but I'm also not going to do anything weird.
That's right. I don't know what doing anything weird would be, but I get it. Hey, let me just start here, because you know me, Dano. I like nothing more than a couple teams that appear to be tanking. And for those who were not around for 2017 Tankabalooza, I'm not talking about a tank for the number one pick in the draft. No, although that was fun. I'm talking about, are we seeing some seeding tanking here? So tanking for a particular seed, and I'm looking at you, Oklahoma City Thunder and Utah Jazz. Are they, Dano? And let me just point out some factoids from yesterday. All right, because if you look at the lineups and the minutes yesterday for both of those teams, I'm kind of thinking it couldn't have been more blatant. So no Jazz starter played more than 16 minutes yesterday. Donovan Mitchell did not play. OKC sat their whole team, I believe, except for CP3. And, well, back to the Jazz for a second. They were up 16 at the half, and then they played nobody in the second half of their game. They were outscored by 20 in the fourth quarter. I, of course, am talking about, respectively yesterday, the games that Oklahoma City played against Phoenix, where they lost by 27, and the Jazz, who, again, were up 16 at the half, who ended up losing by 8 to the Dallas Mavericks, who were without Porzingis and Doncic. So am I on to something with these two teams? Are they trying to get to the sixth seed? In other words, are they trying to get downwards to the sixth seed so that they would have to play the Nuggets instead of the Rockets?
Yes, I think they probably are. I think you're very much onto something. Although I also feel like the Jazz are playing with fire a little bit because they only have one game left and the Mavs have two. So there is a way that the Jazz could accidentally tank their way into the Clippers in the first round, which feels like a problem gone way wrong here. Hey, we can, you know, get the Nuggets. Oops, we ran into Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. The Thunder have that extra half game buffer that's going to go a long way. By the way, I also feel as though I think we're contractually obligated to say you never forget your first Tankapalooza.
Oh, you never do. Never do. Oh, it's nothing like it. You just chase that high.
we really did.
Yeah, we'll never get that high again. It's funny you said that about, you know, tanking their way into the series against the Clippers if they got all the way to seven, because at first that was my instinct too. I was like, wait a minute, why are they doing this? They're going to just end up playing the Clippers. Then I'm like, oh, I see what they're trying to do. They're just trying to avoid the Rockets, play the Nuggets. Which, you know, none of these teams are a cakewalk, by the way, but I can totally see that. And again, for those who are just handing me, they're like, really, Gil, are you talking about tanking? It's not the players on the court. It's who the coaches put out on the court, right? The guys on the court, they're playing basketball. They're playing as hard as they ever could. But it's just that the coaches are not maximizing the lineup, shall we say.
Well, no, I mean, you know, Joe Ingles played 13 minutes. Rudy Gobert played 16. Emmanuel Mudiay played 27. That's sort of all you needed to see there in a game that Utah would have won easily if they were playing any of their guys, because Dallas had all of their guys out for that game.
Exactly. That's all we're saying. So now, okay, so we go to today's slate. Now, unfortunately, neither OKC or Utah is playing. But perhaps there is now. So here's the other thing. So yesterday, I didn't get a chance to talk to you about this. I talked to JVT about this, but Miami and Indiana, right? So the notion that those teams in the East are somehow jockeying for position with the Sixers, like there's nothing really there in the East, is there?
No, I don't think so. In the East, there was always that 3-6 clump, and I don't think anybody really cared where they ended up. Celtics have moved out in front and now it's a 4-6 clump. There's a thought that I guess maybe you'd prefer to play either the Heat or the Pacers than the Celtics if you're looking at it from the lower portion of the bracket. But at some point there, I mean, what is it really worth? You're going to have to go through either the Raptors or the Bucks at some point.
Right.
So, you know, it's not like you're getting a giant home crowd revenue here or your big home crowd high in the playoffs. This is a neutral site bubble game. So there's no difference between 4 and 5 at this point.
Yeah.
And you're not getting to 3. So no, the East is done. The East is all set.
Yep. All right. So yeah, with, you know, we know the team, so maybe jockeying for position a little bit, but it's not as if there's a tank job going on here. So seven games today in the National Basketball Association, only a few more days left of the seeding games. By the way, I got a kick out of it when Mark Jackson on telecast yesterday was like, I'm ready for the playoffs already. Like, really? We just started this.
It's been 11 days, yeah. Mark.
Enjoy this, for God's sakes. All right, so
sat around for 150 and he can't do 11 regular season days.
That's right. He's like, oh, I'm ready for the playoffs already. This is not. So, all right, one of the games today is Phoenix and Philadelphia. Phoenix attempting to go 7-0 with one game left after this in their seeding games. And by the way, if you look up at the standings, so again, there will be no play-in situation in the East. But in the West, we are guaranteed a play-in situation between whoever ends up at 8 and 9, which right now is the Grizzlies at 8, right? Memphis Grizzlies with a half game or says to say one less loss. So basically a half game.
I love that you called up the Grizzles, by the way.
You're welcome.
I do that too. And I feel like people give me a weird look each time, but
I do it on, well, that's exactly what happened. I do it on purpose. And then I think people think you make a mistake when you do it. You're like, no, I'm actually saying it on purpose. Grizzlies at 33 and 38, Trailblazers 33 and 39. Those are 8-9 right now, but then a half game behind that, and this will all come down to win percentage, the Phoenix Suns, who started out this bubble at 26 and 39, and in markets to get the eighth seed were at the lowest 60 to 1, but as high as 200 to 1 in some spots. They have reeled off six in a row. They go for seven today as 9.5-point favorites because the Sixers have no Joel Embiid. So they run into that bit of good news as well today. First of all, do you have a play on that game? Do you have a play on any of these games today? And what's the 8-9 you want to see? It's got to be Portland and Phoenix at this point, isn't it? With apologies to the Grizzlies.
Yeah, it is. So I was scouring Twitter as I do, and I have a lot of thoughts on this, and I'll try to do it in chunks here so we don't bore people to tears. John Hollinger, who I think used to run the Grizzlies actually for a bit, he tweeted out the maximum chaos theory of what could happen by the end of today. If Boston, Dallas, Phoenix, and San Antonio win today, you would have three teams tied for 8th/9th and Portland a half game back.
There's
a lot that can still go wrong. And that could actually happen. Boston is probably going to beat Memphis when you look at it from that perspective. Phoenix is probably going to win. Portland-Dallas is one of the only games on the board where both sides care at all about the outcome of the game. And then what do we have? The last one, was that the Spurs? I've already lost track of
Spurs and the Rockets, right?
Rockets will have Russell Westbrook back for this ball game, so they're not going to be a pushover. But at the same time, they could sort of, I mean, we don't really know what they're going to do. They're probably not falling farther back than five at this point. I don't think they care if they're three or four or five, frankly. So do they play their guys normal minutes? Probably, because that's a D'Antoni thing to do. But that really could happen. Hollinger's tweet could bear itself out, and we could go into the end of this resumption with four teams within a half game of eighth place. How great would that be?
It'd be awesome, but Mark Jackson's ready for the playoffs already. So
he's ready for the 8-9 best of two play-in series.
Oh, man. So any plays on anything? I mean, these are so hard to do pre-flop, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh, man. Look at all of Brooklyn, Orlando. No one's playing in that ball game. New Orleans, Sacramento, the buns on this meaty 7-day card are truly awful. The top and bottom.
Yeah.
Then you've got the in between. So Houston, San Antonio, you could argue one out of two teams, maybe two teams care. Phoenix, Philly, kind of the same story. One really does. The other, meh. Boston, Memphis, same thing. Milwaukee, Washington, that's another who gives a flying, you know what.
Right.
And Portland, Dallas, that's your one game on the board. You're like, okay, I could make a pretty legitimate argument on both sides. The one thing that I noticed in going through these cards the last couple of days is that it does feel like the motivational angle is starting to get cooked in on these numbers, where I don't know that it really fully was at the beginning of the seeding games.
I agree with that. Yeah.
And it does seem to be now, which, you know, when you take the motivation angle off the table, like you said, it's pretty hard to do this stuff at the beginning of the ball game. These numbers are cockeyed, and you don't know who's going to play in the second half.
And that's the other thing. In game is even, as you put it, cockeyed, right? Like even in game, you're like, I don't know who's coming out in the second half, right? So,
yeah, I mean, there's these opportunities that pop up every once in a while. I would recommend, from a betting standpoint, I think the best way to handle things right now is to watch as many of these games live as you can.
Agreed.
And look out for those moments like Phoenix. Yep. And Oklahoma City yesterday, you knew that game was turning at some point. OKC wasn't going to blow out Phoenix by 15. So when Phoenix went down 15, you had a 3.5-point in-game Suns line that was like, okay, well, I have to do this.
Okay.
And roll with that.
Got to run, Dano. I appreciate that. And we'll look for OKC and Utah for those same things tomorrow. Thank you. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.